يقولون سلام سلام ولا هنا سلام.
You're listening to Middle East Analysis, a podcast series from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Hello and welcome to our podcast. Now, this is a Middle East Analysis special where we're focusing on the new Coptic Pope. Now, if you don't know, that is Anbar Tawadros, who will be enthroned on the 18th of November. And of course, who better to speak to us about such things than the Bishop's Consultant on the Middle East North Africa region? That's Dr. Harry Hagopian, who is sitting opposite me. Harry, how are you?
Hello, James. Welcome back from your break. It's been quite a while since we sat here in this little quaint studio of yours.
Well, there's nothing like looking at the region and having a list of sort of 20 or 30 things to cover and realising obviously it would take us several
Absolutely.
Hours to go over that. So we're not even going to try. We're going to focus on a couple of key elements. And first of all, the new Coptic Pope. Tell me a little bit about him.
A sense of jubilation, joy. I followed the election which took place during the Divine Liturgy at the Coptic Cathedral in Abbasiyye in Cairo. And I call it an election, but I also call it a selection, because I thought it was very interesting. This is a very long procedure where there were a number of candidates, then they were whittled down to five, and then eventually to three. And those three names were put in a glass bowl, sealed with red candle. And then during Divine Liturgy, the locum tenens, who was taking care of the church, Anbar Bachomius, then opened that glass bowl, and a young Coptic lad, probably about 7 or 8, who was standing next to him, put his hand in the glass bowl and picked one of the bowls which had sealed in it one of the three names of the candidates for Pope of the Coptic Church. And hence, Anbar or Bishop Tawadros was chosen. There was a lot of joy and happiness because he is a very well-respected Coptic bishop. But I thought it was a very interesting, and certainly for us in the West, perhaps a rather bizarre way of letting the Holy Spirit do its job and choose the successor to the late Pope Shenouda III, who died last March. So this whole process between the old and the new, the sense of renewal that we're talking about, took about 6-7 months, and we now have a new Pope elect, who, as you said in your intro, will be enthroned on the 18th of November.
Now, I'm not going to labour the point, but I do find this interesting. It is so gloriously bizarre. But actually, since we've spoken off mic, I think it does make quite a lot of sense. I mean, we in the Catholic Church are very familiar with conclave, locked doors, burning ballot papers, checking out whether it's black or white smoke to see if a new Holy Father has been elected. But actually, as you told me, that there is some method in this, isn't there?
I think there is some method in this. I like the choice of having a young acolyte or a young kid come up there. And what they actually even did is that they didn't choose the young kid who was standing there, say, on the eve, on Saturday or previously. On the day itself, there were about 6 or 7, and they chose one of them. So that was quite fresh and coincidental that he was chosen. And then in front of everybody's view and all the TV cameras, this young lad then put his hand in the glass bowl and chose the name. And it could have been any one of those three. So there was a moment of tense expectation, and then Anbar Bachomius read the name and showed it to everybody, and it was clearly Bishop Tawadros. Now, in a sense, it is very interesting because, amongst other things, this is a way of, I suppose, showing absolute transparency in as much as possible, that it's all above board, that there was no funny business about who is the next pope. You also, three, it's almost like the lottery, the national lottery we have in this country. Hence, as I said in an article I wrote on the election or selection, as it were, of the new pope, it's altar lottery, which is a term that has become quite popular amongst the media people in the Middle East and North Africa, certainly in Egypt. And you'd like this, James. It's even hashtagged on Twitter.
I do like that, Harry. I do like that. Now, down to some serious business mm-hmm. here, it would be certainly fair to say that the man who will become Pope Tawadros II is going to face a few tricky challenges, isn't he? None least than relations between Muslims and Christians in Egypt.
I think he's going to face quite a few problems. I think the length of Pope Shenouda's pontificacy, 4 decades, was very long. And after a while, the church was in some ways beginning to creak. And the new pope has a few challenges. Now, there are some challenges which are internal to the Coptic Orthodox Church, so I don't think it behoves upon us to talk too much about it, but I know that there are issues to do with remarriage, to do with divorce, issues that they have to deal with themselves as a Coptic Orthodox Church. But also there are other issues that have to do, before we go into Islam and Christianity, there are issues that have to do with the youth, the young people of Egypt, the Copts. And I felt this actually from the start of the 25 January revolution in Cairo, a sense of disenfranchisement, a sense of alienation by some of the Coptic youth, certainly not all of them, but by some of them who felt that they were not included within the church, that the church had become, which in history it has become many times across different churches, that it had become an institution exclusive of its assembly of believers. And in a sense, I think what the new pope-elect is going to do, in my humble opinion, is to re-energize the church, re-include everyone in the church, and focus very much on the young men and women, Coptic men and women, who are in the country itself, in Egypt, because let's not forget that the largest Christian community, or a term I don't like, minority in the Middle East and North Africa, are the Coptic Orthodox Church. And in that sense, about 10% of Egypt. So we're talking anything between 6, 7 million up to 10, 11 million. There are never statistics because that's taboo for the Middle East. The other thing that he would need to focus on that, and this is again a Coptic issue, is that sometimes the Coptic diaspora, particularly the Copts in the United States, have been far too vocal, far too outspoken, and far too critical of Egypt and Egyptian authorities. Now, they're sitting in the States comfortably talking about democracy, freedom, dignity, and how the Egyptian authorities discriminate between Christian and Muslim, how the Christian Coptic Church does not have certain rights to do things, for instance, build churches, etc. Now, in a sense, they are right to do this, but also in a sense, they have to take into consideration that they can do it living in a country that respects so much the freedom of expression, but this also has repercussions on people living in the country itself. So I think that the new pope-elect will have to look at that. And finally, to come straight to your point in a very roundabout way, James, as you're used to in some of my statements, in some sense, he would have to deal with Christian-Muslim relations at a time when there is a lot of sensitivity in the country. Why is there a lot of sensitivity in the country? There have always been problems between Christians and Muslims in Egypt. The Copts have at times felt alienated, discriminated against. This is not something new to the uprisings and the revolution. This used to happen very much during the past period when President Hosni Mubarak was running the country. And it is still, to some extent, happening now. And interestingly enough, the famous riots in Maspero happened during the revolution. So in that sense, I believe that it is important for the pope-elect to address the youth of the country, the Copts inside the country and outside the country, and finally, issues to do with Christians and Muslims and relations. And on that one, James, one thing that delights me is that, if I'm not mistaken, President Morsi of Egypt, who hails from the Muslim Brotherhood, therefore an Islamist, will be attending the enthronement at the cathedral on the 18th of November. Now, that's not going to define a new reality to relations across religions in the country, but it is an indication of an openness and therefore, for me, of hope for the future.
Do you know, Harry, I have to say, I'm totally in awe of your analysis of all things, but you're very frustrating for a journalist. I've got my list of questions. Yeah, I'm listening to you. I'm trying to get in there with some top questions.
I'm preempting your questions. I'm sorry, James.
You're asking and answering. No, fair enough, too. Well, time will tell, certainly, for this question, but I'm going to draw you back to the title of your article that you wrote recently on this very subject, where you proposed, will the new pope herald a new era? We've talked about Morsi, we've talked about the stability or lack thereof in Egypt and the challenges faced, youth, interreligious dialogue, so on and so forth. Can you answer that question for me? Will it herald a new era?
If I could answer that question for you, James, I would have answered it in the article that you will hopefully post on our Middle East page. I don't know if he will herald a new era, but I'm always hopeful. I'm hopeful as a Christian. I'm hopeful as a friend of Egypt. I'm hopeful as an Armenian who very much understands the Coptic Orthodox Church. And therefore, I think that this man is the kind of breath of fresh air that would actually re-energize the church in a way that it needs to be re-energized. Certainly the reactions I've got from different people, even the tweets from Bishop Angelos, who is the Coptic Orthodox General Bishop in the United Kingdom, who was very, very happy with the results. Of course, he was there at the Divine Liturgy for the election. I'm hoping that what he would do is make the church more relevant. This is, for me, the key issue. And it doesn't only apply to the Coptic Church. It applies to every church. A church is not an institution. It's not only walls. It's not only ceremonies, rituals, and important bishops with very large crosses on their chests. What the church is all about is you and I. Jesus said, put two people together and I'm there amongst you. And that to me is what the church is all about. And I think this man who speaks English well, who spent an academic stint in this country, who graduated in pharmaceutical sciences, and interestingly enough, James, most of the Coptic Orthodox bishops have had academic degrees unrelated to the church before they actually entered the church. So we're not talking about people who have nothing better to do and who come into the church. We're talking about people who come consciously because there is a calling and because they want to be servants of God. That to me is what matters, and I'm hopeful that it will happen with Tawadros II.
Tough job, isn't it?
Very tough job. It always is. And this is why my article ends with a question mark, not an exclamation mark.
On that note, Dr. Harry Hagopian, the Bishop's Consultant on the Middle East North Africa region, thank you very much indeed.
Pleasure, James.